Heavenly Father, we just honor you this morning. Bless you for everything, everything you are and all that you have done and will do. Our hearts are full of joy and gratitude. It's a blessing to be able to worship you and to learn by the Spirit of God things that you want us to know. We ask you to bring this word to our hearts, our spirits, that we might live in the truths that you make available to us. Not just be hearers of the word, but livers of it. And to that we say amen and amen. Well, God bless you all. I want to share this morning something from John. I want to teach you some things about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. First of all, we want to read some scripture from John 14. Jesus said this in John 14 and verse 6. Right after he told the disciples that he was going to go away, he says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He's indicating that he is the only way to proceed to God the Father. There is no other way, regardless of what other religions might proclaim. He is the only way. Prior to that, Thomas, one of the apostles, asked him a question. Because Jesus had said to them, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And Thomas asked him in spite of that, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and we don't know the way either. And then Philip comes along and says, Lord, would you show us the Father? That would be enough. They wanted to see God the Father in physical form or in some manifestation that they could say, well, now I've seen him. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, how is that possible? So let me read the rest of the scripture here from John 14:7 down to the 23rd verse. This is from the New King James. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip again said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It'll be sufficient for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long? And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. It says in some translations, abide, abode. Just as an aside, do you know that word is mansions? We'll make our mansions with you. Earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Where are the mansions? Just as an aside. I'm not going to deal with that this morning, but I want to drop that into your spirit. Where are the mansions? All right, I'll leave that. let you marinate on that a little bit. Here are the things that Jesus, this is just summary for you now. Remember this. He said, I'm going and I'm coming. Don't you worry about anything. Let me summarize and just extract the oneness, which is a theme that we are staying on as long as God wants us on it, to understand the oneness of God, the three in one, and our oneness with one another are similar. Not equal, but very similar. The same way that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, we are one with each other and one with God in similarity, not equality. That's important because we would become God then. In similarity, not equality. Now here's the things that Jesus said. I'm just going to lift them out of those verses. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. A declaration of he and the Father are one. If you can't believe it at least for the works and the words. However, the Holy Spirit will come after I go, and he will be with you here in this room and in you, in all of us, forever. Remember, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the way that is accomplished is by the coming presence of the Spirit of Christ into us. I will come to you. Not only has the Spirit come, but he has come. Why? How? Because he cannot be divided. One eternal Spirit manifested as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not divide. Inseparable. But are able to manifest to us the personage of the Father, the Son, the Spirit. I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I'm in you. Wow. I will manifest myself to you, and we will all come and make our mansion with you, our abode, our dwelling place. So let's sum this up again. God is one divine Spirit, eternally manifested as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No separation. If you see one, you see the other. Jesus came, and he fully, thoroughly represented and manifested the Father. And the Father makes the Son known to us by the Spirit, so that all three cooperate to reveal the Trinity, one to each other, one in each other, and all of them to us. This is the basis of Christianity, called the Trinitarian faith. All the other religions in the world struggle with this, Islam the most. They don't believe it's possible for God to be three. But who is to tell God who he is? Who is to tell God what the Spirit is? But the Lord tells us who the Spirit is and what the Spirit can be. In the book that I'm writing right now, the Holy Spirit gave me this one little phrase. I thought, wow, how definite is that? With God, matter doesn't matter. You know what matter is? Substance, form, space, definition, volume, distance. But with God, who created all that, matter doesn't matter. He can be who he is. He's above and beyond and superior to matter. That's how Jesus was able to walk through walls when he came back. We are born of that Spirit, the Spirit that created matter. We're born of God. We sometimes just simply say, I am born again. But that doesn't do enough justice to the reality that the Spirit of God, like a human father who brings life to a child when it comes and connects with the egg, we are born of that Spirit by the Word of God, and we can say now, I am a son of God because I'm born of God. And that's who brought life to us, the Spirit, so that now our dead spirits, before we knew God, have come alive to him, and we are now born of heaven, born of the Spirit of God, bringing his life to our spirits. In humans, we get the life of our parents that comes into us. With all of its history, we did, at least I did, a 23andMe, an ancestry thing to find out my own history. It's amazing what I found out. My life is a composite of all of that. Our life in the Spirit, of the Spirit, is what God has deposited of himself in us. Isn't that amazing? We are now one with him in similarity, but not in equality. For example, I can be born of my father, but I can't be my father. You get the distinction? His life has come into us. When people say, I have Jesus in my heart, I can understand that because there's something warm and tender, you know, that he dwells in my heart. There's thoughts and emotions and feelings associated with it. But if we stop there, we negate the reality that he isn't in us as a feeling or a thought. He's in us as a person who has fused his life in us, never to separate from us. Here's an example. Joe, you might like this one. Let's say your ship is out on the ocean, your sailing boat. It's Brenda's ship, okay. Well, look what's going to happen, Brenda. Your ship is going to sink. It was on the water. Now it's in the water, right? What happens when it's in the water? It's surrounded completely by the water. It's in the water. But also what happens is that the water gets in the boat. That's what it's like to be baptized into God, into Christ. We are like the ship that gets baptized into him. Not only in him, but all of him is absorbed into us. Amazing, isn't it? Nature can help us understand some of these things. Romans 6:3 says that we have been baptized into him, and that when he died, went into the water, let's call it that, we went down there with him, and we got dead, meaning the old man, the old person, with all of its thoughts, feelings, desires, emotions that were off base, all of its negative history, negative thinking, negative ideology, negative philosophy, self-centered. And I tell you what, the self is the worst enemy of God on the face of the earth. Not the devil, self. And Jesus took that self, us, nailed it to the cross with him, buried it with him, left it there, and raised us up with him in newness of life. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, we have been baptized into one body. We are identified in our oneness as one body. And what is that body? The body of Christ. His earlier body was a human body in limited fashion. His present body is an entirely extraordinary body comprised of all the saints on the face of the earth today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Because he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord, 1 Corinthians 6, and we cannot be separated. That means that those who passed on before us that are in heaven are still one with us as one body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know? That includes Paul. And all of us here on the face of the earth are also that one body of Christ. And there's only one head to it. And all of those who will come after us, who are baptized into this body, will be one body. Because by one spirit we are all joined together. If there is no separation in the Godhead, those who've been baptized into the body of Christ, there's no separation for us either. There are three declarations that Jesus made. These are not the only three, but these were the three that he was speaking about. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He did not say, I am a way, or I am some truth, and I am a part of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. None are separated from him. Now, here's what I want to help you with. This is very hard because We long to have God help us, and we think in terms of pieces of him. Oh, God, give me strength. Oh, God, help me to love this unlovely person. Oh, God, help me to forgive. Oh, God, this. Oh, God, that. As if by our prayers we can pull out of his person a piece of him and put it into us, and we get a little power to accomplish that. All right, let's take a step back. God is indivisible. Jesus Christ is indivisible. If we ask him for something, he cannot take a piece of him and give it to us. We have him in us, all of him. The fullness of him, it says in Ephesians 1, that fills all in all. So he came into us. I want you to, we're going to have to backflush a lot of religious thinking that we say, oh God, I want your peace. He says, no, no, I am your peace. We say, we'd like, I am healing. I'm not just your healer. In him is health. Right? So we need to begin to think in terms of not pieces of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, a whole God who dwells in you, who, he says, makes himself known, manifests in us as he's fused in us, and as he now becomes what we must need, he becomes that. I would like to say that our weaknesses become his strengths, our negatives becomes his positive, that every area of our life that is still necessary to be changed over is what he becomes to us. Little by little, we come to realize how his fullness begins to fill us. He fills us in our days. He fills us in our weaknesses. He fills us in our triumphs. He is everything. He's everything. Everything. He's not here, there, at one moment and coming back. He's in us all the time. He cannot leave us. We may not be conscious of him, but he's there. Father, I want to stop right now. We need prayer for this because we separate you from us. We believe you're there and we're here. We believe we have some power, not the power, some life, not the life, some truth, not all the truth. We see you in a coming and a going, and a praying and a coming, and an asking and a receiving, as if there were two places that you exist. You exist everywhere, but when it comes to us, you dwell in us permanently. So whatever we ask, we have the one who provides in us, who is our life. Who is our life? Who is our life? It's permanent. He fuses his life with us. We are joined with him. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's go to that again. This is the most profound statement that the Apostle Paul made about how he lives. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. When did that happen? Anybody know that? Yeah, at the cross. He was able to take all of us there. All of those who are already in heaven, all of us here on the earth, and all of those who will come to be part of him. How is that done? Well, it's done by the Spirit. Like I said, matter doesn't matter. Matter doesn't matter. That means time doesn't matter. Distance doesn't matter. Nothing matters. The Spirit is capable of transcending and does transcend all of that. We don't imagine that to be true as if, well, if I imagine that, it'll help me live. No, it happened. In the economy of God, the spiritual realm, that happened. It happened. It's as real as anything else. Touching this podium, I can feel it. Well, it's as real as me touching this. We were crucified with him. Yet, he says, it is no longer I who live, but now Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So how do we understand this, that Christ now has become our life? By faith. By faith. Faith is not logic. It is not reason. It is not common understanding. Faith is a spiritual apprehension It apprehends a truth and receives it in the spirit, your spirit. It becomes true to you regardless of what your logical mind can accept. And you know it because you know it. Jesus said in that day when he came into us, we will know these things. How are we going to know it? Holy Spirit is going to help us know that. So I no longer live, you no longer live, but we live. And how do we live? We live by faith of the Son of God, who now not only gave himself, but lives in us and fused himself into our living being. Do we live by him at occasional times, necessary times, needy times, wonderful times, prayer times, or all the time? We have no difference in our life. We are not occasionally with him any more than he is occasionally with us. It is permanent. The only difference, the only time we're not thinking about it is because our conscious being is not aware of him. We are more aware of ourselves than we are aware of the living Christ in us. And the more we learn to be conscious of Christ in us, the more we will live in a more fruitful way. There is nothing that we will fail at if we put our understanding in that Christ will live in us and take us through anything. Anything. Everything. Amen. Therefore, Christ in us cannot be a standby. He's not in some corner of my soul watching me, waiting for me to, hey, Jesus, can you give me a hand? We treat him that way. He's not just a feeling. He's not just an emotion. We are going to learn to live consciously with Jesus Christ, our life. So he says, oh, before I go on, let me put it to you this way. This I hope will help you. Jesus said this. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything I do because the Father shows me to do it, and he in me does the works. And the words that I say to you are his words that he gives me to say. So everything that Jesus did was under the direction, the dimension, the presence of the Father in him. Jesus had a head. The head was the Father. The head determined the life of the body. Just like our human heads determine the life of your body. We think and we do. Isn't that correct? As we hear what goes on in our mind, the rest of our body will function. Well, Jesus said, the Father's my head, and whatever he shows me, whatever he wants me to say, his thoughts, whatever, I do those things. Not me, him in me. Similarly, Jesus is the head of the body of Christ throughout the universe. He has the right and the authority and the power and the dominion to direct the activities of the whole body and the individual members of the body. Is that not true? I don't appeal to him on occasion for some help. I listen to him for life. There's a big difference. The less we pay attention to the reality of his indwelling presence, the more trouble we have. Because we will self-determine our lives when it was not intended by God for us to do so. Self always wants to be in control. It is our own enemy. The I will of my life is my enemy. It came from Satan. It's been burned and buried into the soul of humanity. Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the heavens. And he said to Adam and Eve, and when you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like gods. No longer dependent upon God, but independent of God. Free of God and living your own life according to your own self-centered purposes. That's why we were buried with Christ. To get rid of that. It's our greatest enemy. A lot of times we think the devil did it. He already did it in Adam. He doesn't have to do it to you all the time. It's our own wills often that get us into the most trouble. A surrendered life is a spiritual life with God. So, As Jesus lived, as he can be our example, the same way the Father was his head, Jesus can be our head. Indeed, he is. All right, this is the last thing I'm going to share with you this morning. The whole idea of what is it that Jesus is the way? Well, initially, it's that Jesus is the way that come to the Father. And that has already been accomplished. But here are some things about the way the word way works. Sometimes a way is a means of travel, like a thoroughfare, a highway, a road. Sometimes the way is a passage out through an open door or an open door in. That's the way. Sometimes it's a route, like your GPS calculates. Last night we went to somebody's house and we needed the GPS to get us there and the GPS to get us out of there. It's a calculated route. Sometimes we calculate our own routes. Sometimes it's a course of actions. This is the way towards an objective or a goal. Sometimes the way is my way. Sometimes a way is a way of doing something, a method. I've done it this way. I'll do it again. Sometimes a way is the amount of participation. Some way, a large way, a little way, or all the way. Sometimes the way is a way of a person, the mode of their living. That's the way they are. That's the way they live. Sometimes a way is the ability to get along. People have a way with others. Sometimes it's a good way. Sometimes it's manipulative. Sometimes we don't know it, that people are trying to manipulate us. Sometimes a way is a distance, a long way, a short way. Sometimes a way is the way one works their way up, the way to get ahead. Sometimes the way is the state of things. This is the way things are. Sometimes a way is all the way to the fullest extent. Sometimes a way is the right way and the wrong way. Sometimes you can be in the way. Sometimes you can be out of the way. We tend to think of ways as things, this way and that way. We don't think of our ways as a person. You cannot reduce Jesus to things because he's not a thing. He's a person. He doesn't give us things. He gives us himself. We don't get a piece of him. We get all of him. He is the way. In all of the things I mentioned. And he is the right way. And he is the only way. And he will show us the way. Because he is the way. And when we don't yield to him, we can go the wrong way. And we often do go the wrong way. We do our own thing. We exalt ourselves in it. Sometimes we fall away. But if we're walking with him, we'll never do that. If we're letting him be him, he's the only way. What we do in our lives is to establish ways of life, make patterns, methods that we feel comfortable, all of which are under our control, and this is how we live. Sometimes we do what others tell us or want us to do. It's their way, and we follow into it. Sometimes we disobey that, and we do what we want. We let Jesus become our way. Everything will turn out okay. Whether we go through a trial or not. We live with him all the time. Even in our ministry, I've noticed that in personal ministry with one to another, we tend to remember what we did last time or what somebody else did or even something that we saw Jesus do in the Word. There was a time that Jesus made mud. He spit in the ground, made mud, and put it on a person's eye. They could see, are we supposed to do that all the time? I've seen people try to copy great leaders, speak like great leaders, sound like them, act like them. That's not the way. That's their way, not your way. Jesus is the way. What does he want? How do we minister to one another? You don't know that until you ask him. That's why he said to keep on asking, seeking, and knocking, because he will show us the way. He is the way. This is how we're to live. This is how we're to live. And you want to know something? It is freedom. Because you don't have to figure it out. You only have to do it. Obey and do it. And if he doesn't show you anything, don't do anything. Don't take matters in your own hands. Because all that shows is your impatience. And he tests that to see if you'll trust him. Because he wants to be our life. I lose my life, but I don't really lose. Jesus said, he who loses his life will what? Gain it. So giving up my way to get his way is really an advantage. Is it not? And it takes the stress out of us. Andre and I have things that we're looking at in our future. We do the right things that we should normally do, but we don't press anything in order to make it happen. Because that's dangerous. We just want to live with him. We don't know where we're going to live in 10 years. We might be retired. We might not be. We have no problem. We're at peace. God has the answer. He will direct us. He knows where we are. He'll take us to where we should be. He is provision. God is not occasionally sufficient. He is all sufficient. Always sufficient. I don't want to just get carried away with us. I just want you to know. His ways are past finding out. That doesn't mean he's inscrutable, like, oh, I guess I'll never know God. It means that you can't know them all in advance. So what you do know is him. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you that you live in me, that you are my way, the way, and the only way. So this morning we just pray. For all of our minds that have become confused on how we should approach you, ask for your help, look to you, whatever. We forget the fact that he not only went, but he came. The first thing he told us about prayer, he says, don't pray to go there. He said, pray that it comes here. Your kingdom come here. Here. He said, I go away, but I'm coming back. So he has come. And he dwells in us, and we have become his mansion, his life, his abode. A mansion is a place where you live and enjoy life. And he has chosen us to be his mansions, to dwell in us, to live in us, and for us to know his way, to know him. Father, this morning we thank you for these truths that you've given us by the Holy Spirit and through Jesus, who was our example in the Word and now is our example in life. He is in us forever. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for it. Now, Lord, we turn ourselves over to you, for you to live and move and have your being in us. We pray that in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints. We'll talk about the other two aspects of the truth and the way, the truth, and the life next time we gather.